You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Co-op Radio's broadcasting license is currently up for renewal. The Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission has called Co-op Radio to attend a hearing in May in Gatineau. At the hearing, the CRTC will determine whether Co-op Radio's license to broadcast should be renewed, suspended, or revoked. The Commission ensures that radio stations abide by the radio regulations, which list detailed content and record-keeping requirements. The Commission has found infractions of the regulations by Co-op Radio during each of the past three license terms. To find out what this means for the station, I'm joined in the studio by Lila Chinia. She's Program Coordinator with Co-op Radio. Hello, Lila.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
What were the infractions?
So in at the 2004 license renewal, during that previous term, there was an issue around our logger tape. So the radio regulations, as you mentioned, cover a lot of different requirements that each station has to abide by. That ranges from the content that goes on the air, that it's not abusive comment, that it's appropriate, technical issues in terms of keeping a copy of all of our programming for 30 days after broadcasting, paperwork requirements in terms of logs that people write about our content. And so in the 2004 license renewal, that was an issue of our logger tape. So back then, believe it or not, we were still using tapes during that license term, and the tapes, because of cost issues, we weren't able to replace those tapes regularly, so they were inaudible. So that was an issue. And in response, the CRTC said, well, we're going to shorten your license term, and that's regular process, that if there's an infraction, usually they will shorten the license term so that they can actually monitor you during that shortened license term. We came back in 2008 for our next license renewal, and we had an issue in those 4 years, in that shortened license term, with regards to Canadian content. So the Canadian content regulations are pretty detailed, more specific than I'm going to get into here, but suffice it to say, it's about different kinds of music, and there's different percentage requirements based on the genre of the music. So the genre that requires the highest Canadian content is really the sort of popular genre that we really don't play a lot of. We actually have 10% of that kind of music on our airwaves. We were 2% short in our CanCon. But again, you have to be right to the regulations. So that was an issue. And so we went to a hearing at that point. Again, that's part of the processes. If you're called, if it's found within two license terms that you haven't been in full compliance, then they'll call you to a hearing. And so we went to the hearing, and they decided to give us a two-year license term, which actually got extended because we had a community policy radio review last year. And so it was extended administratively. And we were just informed recently that one of the requirements, which is just about submitting annual returns. So what that is sort of a financial summary of where your station's at. And the deadline for that is November 30th of every year. On both occasions, both years within this license term, our annual returns were filed a couple of weeks late, so mid-December.
So the CRTC seems to be concerned about overall governance issues at the station. How is the station planning to respond to that overall concern, not just like, here's a problem, oh, we fixed it, here's a problem, oh, we fixed it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I should mention, which I didn't, that in each of the cases, we have fixed it right away. So we've taken each of those concerns really seriously.
Right.
So even before the end of each license term, we'd already fixed the problem. We got a computer system for our loggers. That was fixed right away. In the next license term, we did amazing amounts of education, and really to the point where I am incredibly proud of the station and programmers. We are way beyond our CanCon requirements. So that was taken seriously. And we really did something concrete about it. In this case, we've already fixed the problem. You know, we've got oversight systems in place already for two levels of governance in terms of making sure all deadlines are met, not just CRTC requirements, but funding deadlines and other sort of government requirements, because we're as an organization, there are many different pressures and requirements on our station from different bodies, not just the CRTC. So I should say those specifics are really important, and we do have systems in place around that. And I think in terms of governance, we have a really strong governance system, and I think that's evidenced by our ability to respond to this strongly, and by the kind of work that the station's been doing over the past several years, and the fact that, you know, I feel so many of our programmers have received incredible training around governance to participate in the station fully. So
the community radio sector is quite different from what the CRTC deals with on a regular basis. It must present a challenge to the commissioners to figure out how to apply the regulations.
Well, so the mandate of the commission is to have a broadcasting system with public, private, and community radio sectors, community sectors. So that means public meaning CBC, private meaning commercial sector, and community meaning the campus and community radio sector. So it is their mandate to make sure all those sectors are strong, and to have a strong broadcasting system means all three of those elements have to be strong and vibrant. And that's, you know, kind of diverting here, that's partly why the community radio policy review happened last year, was in, I think, recognition that there wasn't a lot of support happening for the community part of that puzzle, and that the CRTC recognized that and wanted to address that. But I think, you know, so the mandate is to make sure there's these three sectors, and I think that it's also that to make sure those three sectors are in compliance with whatever regulations are in place. So I think where the commission is at is, you know, these are the regulations, you need to be compliant whether you're, no matter what sector. It's true that I think there is less attention and knowledge about the community radio sector generally. So for instance, our national organization, which is the National Campus Community Radio Association, I know has done a lot of work in the past several years about educating the commission around the importance of community radio, because not a lot of people, I think, you know, I think commissioners would tend to know more about the other sectors. So they've done a lot of work with that. Recently, a commissioner who was quite supportive of the community radio sector retired. There's new commissioners on board who, I don't know for sure, but, you know, are probably less educated about the community radio sector. And I think it's really important for us to make sure that the value of community radio in the whole broadcasting system, the value that brings, is really brought to their attention. And I'll say that, you know, this review of the community radio policy that happened last year came out of another hearing process for the commission, which was about diversity of voices. And I don't know if folks remember that, but that was actually investigating, amongst other things, sort of the monopoly, the financial control of commercial media. And one of the things that came out of that review was that part of keeping a diversity of voices in the Canadian broadcasting system is to have a strong community radio sector. And so then they took on this other review. So there's an awareness, and I think as new commissioners come on board, it's important to keep that awareness alive and to really educate them.
Is this the first time they've used the word revoked for our license?
For our license, yes. So the process, you know, it's a very kind of laid out process. So if you have a shortened license term one time, you know, you come to a hearing the second time. And so what this is called is a show cause hearing. So they would like us to show cause why we should not receive a mandatory order. So one option is that they could decide to give us a mandatory order to abide by the regulations. Another could be a suspension or revoking of the license. We've never received that in a call to a hearing before. So that wording definitely, you know, give seriousness. This is a serious issue, and we really feel hopeful that the importance of co-op radio, of the role we play in light, you know, while we take the non-compliance issues really seriously, I think those issues have to be taken in the context of all the other benefits that the station brings.
Toronto's veteran community radio station, CKLN, recently had its license revoked. Is that a comparable situation?
I don't think it's comparable at all. So I don't know all the ins and outs of the CKLN situation, but I know that it was a very long process. You know, a station that had a lot of different issues around, you know, different two separate boards, really, vying for control of the station, being locked out, not having access to funds. Totally different situations. They were off the air for a while. Nothing like that is going on here. So what we're looking at here is there was some paperwork that was filed a couple of weeks late, you know, and because of the two other minor infractions during the other license terms, this is the process that the CRTC has to abide by, and this is the process that we're going through. And I don't think the two are comparable. I think the fact that the CRTC decided to revoke CKLN's license was a shock to the community radio sector. It's the first time that's happened, so I think that decision did send a message that there's a precedent here, that can happen. Revoking a license can happen. It hadn't happened before. And so that's shocking, but I would say that it's not useful, and I don't think it's cause to fear. I think it means we need to take things seriously. I think the CRTC is definitely enforcing regulations more consistently, and you know, they're showing that there's three other stations that are up at this hearing that we're going to for the same, you know, not complying with the return of this paperwork, the annual returns. So I think they're showing that they're enforcing things more consistently, but I think this is a totally different situation. And I don't think they're comparable.
Now, the last time we spoke with you here on Red Eye with Robin Puga, who's with the board, we were talking about Co-op Radio's application for a frequency swap with 100.5 FM. Have we received a decision on that application?
We have not. It may be that the CRTC decides to wait for a decision on the license renewal, but we are, you know, that's one of the issues to take into account that. And I think it's an important issue for the sector generally when we're looking at the fact that the CRTC is, you know, that there are these regulations, there are many of them. We've got a sector that's not well-funded. I think that's the real message across the Canada that came out of the Community Radio Policy Review last year was funding, you know, that it's a sector that doesn't have the support it needs to be able to do what it needs. Doesn't mean we don't take our requirements seriously. It means that we do our best and we simply don't have the resources all the time to make it happen. But we, you know, everybody across the board, I know, takes their requirements to the CRTC seriously, including Co-op Radio.
But there's no connection that you can see between the frequency swap and being called to a show cause hearing?
I think they're two separate issues. But on that point, I would like to say that I think this shows, you know, I think the potential, the future for Co-op Radio with this change is really going to be an opportunity for us to have those resources to be able to you know, to have the resources that prevent us from doing all the things we need to do sometimes.
Now, the CRTC is obviously most concerned to see that Co-op Radio is being run in a, I guess, what they would probably characterize as a professional way, that it abides by all the regulations. Yet you're also asking people to send in interventions saying what the station means to them. Why is that helpful?
I think it's really important for the Commission to know how important community radio is and what role it plays in people's lives. So whether you're a listener who, you know, has gained insight into issues or music or stories or community issues, you know, whether that's what's moved you to support and listen to co-op radio and community radio. I think that's important for commissioners to know that that's a value. Whether you're, you know, even we've got 350 to 400 volunteers every year, and those are people who have gained skills that help them in their, you know, other parts of their lives, whether it's in governance or actually doing, you know, getting work in other forms of media. So I think all of those things are important for the commission to know that about what we do and the benefit it brings. Because I think there's two levels. There's what we do on the air, which is educating people about many different issues that they're not going to get informed about in other media. And there's also what we do behind the scenes, which is education of programmers, you know, of people, of community members, to empower them with skills. And so I think all of those benefits to the community may not be apparent to all of the commissioners who aren't familiar with the with the community radio sector, and I think that's important. I think I think we have an incredible ability at this station to you know, empower folks with skills on all levels. People who need to, you know, who are in governance, who are in programming, staff, they get amazing training here, and it's really building human capacity. And I think that's really an amazing resource, and we're efficient with that. We do that efficiently and amazingly.
So you want the commission to know that?
I think it's really important for the commission to know how important co-op radio is to you. So I think, you know, if people want to help support the station in this, then it's important to go to the CRTC website, and you can file an intervention. We've got information about that on our website as
so
well.
So people can go to the website, and is there a link right there of how to do that? Or
we have one right now. We've, I think, just put one up in the last couple of days, so I think the link should be there. Otherwise, you can go to the CRTC website and then go to public proceedings and then look for co-op radio. But I think what's most important is just to speak from your heart what community radio means for you, and to tell them that you don't want co-op radio's license to be revoked, that you do want it to be renewed, and why that is. And the more people are able to convey that to the commission, that gives them a sense of the value. You know, the more the quantity matters in this case, in terms of giving them a sense that it is a sector of value to people.
Well, thank you very much, Leela, for explaining that.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Leela Chinia, program coordinator at Co-op Radio. If you'd like to send an intervention to the CRTC in support of Co-op Radio's license renewal, you can find the URL on the station's website at cooperadio.org. And there's also a link there to an email address to send a copy of what you say to the station.